morning. Christ is in our midst. And welcome to everybody who's with us online this morning. We're glad you're there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story is told of a Russian bishop while he was visiting one of his monasteries who learned of three holy monastics who lived as hermits on a nearby island to the monastery. Being that these three monastics were in his diocese, he wanted to meet them. So he hired a boat captain to take him to the island. Upon arriving, the three monks greeted his grace warmly and received his blessing. The bishop said to them, "I have heard that you are godly men who live here, saving your souls, praying to the Lord Jesus Christ for your fellow man. I, an unworthy servant to Jesus Christ, am called by God's mercy to protect and teach his flock." Then he went on to ask many questions. Being hermits, they didn't say much. But he saw that they were good, holy, and simple people. He asked them, "Tell me, how do you pray to God? What is your prayer rule?" The eldest hermit said, "We pray every day, all the time. We pray when we do our chores. We pray when we eat. We pray when we rise and we go to sleep. And this is our prayer. Three are ye, three are we. Lord, have mercy upon us." His grace smiled and said, "Ah, you know the Holy Trinity." He then asked them if they knew the Lord's Prayer. They said they did not. They went on to teach them the Lord's Prayer. Since they were illiterate, His Grace spent the rest of the day helping them memorize it. Finally, when it was getting dark, they had learned the Lord's Prayer by heart. Vladika bid us goodbye, blessed them, and left. The boat sails off into the dark. Vladika was sitting on the back of the boat, reflecting on his visit with these three holy men. As he sat there, he suddenly saw a bright light coming towards the boat. The light kept coming closer and closer, and eventually the one light became three distinct lights. It was the three hermits running across the water as if it were dry land. When the hermits reached the ship, they cried out, "Vladika, Vladika, help us. We cannot remember what comes after. Give us this day our daily bread." His grace responded, "Your prayer, three are ye, three are we, Lord, have mercy on us as well. The Lord hears your prayer. The Lord knows your heart. You are close to God. It is not for me to teach you. Instead, pray for me, a sinner." There's some beautiful takeaways from the story for us. These simple, uneducated men truly knew God. They prayed always. They prayed unceasingly, keeping their minds focused on God, repeating a simple prayer. And by practicing simple, continuous prayer, their minds and their hearts were constantly with God. Their minds and hearts were united with God. They were living in the presence of God. Their prayer, "Three are ye, three are we, Lord, have mercy on us," is a form of the Jesus prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And it's a prayer that all of us are invited to pray as often as possible. And in this morning's gospel, the Canaanite woman prayed a similar "Lord, have mercy" prayer with all her heart. Our Lord was today in what is modern Lebanon. Jesus and the disciples are traveling amongst the pagan Canaanite Gentiles. The Canaanites worshiped many gods and looked down upon the Jews. In fact, they were looked down upon by the Jews. The Jews looked upon them as dogs. According to the woman, her daughter is severely possessed. And mommy is distraught. She's powerless. Though she's not a Jew, from the context we know that she knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And she comes up to our Lord. And she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And calling him Son of David, she's recognizing Christ as the Messiah. "My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." And how does Jesus respond? He utters not a word. God responds to her prayer with complete silence. For a second here, I'm going to digress. Sometimes God is silent to our prayer requests, and it can be for many reasons. Maybe it's because we're praying for the wrong thing. The Lord's Prayer, we pray for thy will be done. Maybe we're praying for our will and not God's will. In the end, brothers and sisters, God's will is always what's best for us. And God's silence may be saying to us, no, what you're praying is not what's best for your soul, for your life or your loved ones. So he's silent. And sometimes we may mistakenly think God is silent. And I know this from pastoral experience. We're simply just not listening. Sometimes God speaks to us with words of silence. It's exactly what he's doing with the Canaanite woman. She comes to ask Jesus for his help. The disciples do not want her around, and disciples send her away, or want to send her away. Jesus has the disciples within the earshot of the woman after they said, please send her away. He says, I was sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he's saying to this to the woman, his job is to bring the good news to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, not to the Canaanites, and not to this Canaanite woman. Hearing this, the woman does not lose faith. She does not back down. In fact, the opposite takes place. She draws nearer to her Lord. And in the Greek, it says that when she kneels down, it's an act of worship. And she says this in this act of worship, Lord, help, and you can just see her before our Lord, Lord, help me, this perfect image of prayer. And Jesus responds. And these are some tough words. Some of these words are tough for some people here today. It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But to understand these words, you need to understand the context. First, the children are Israel. The bread is the good news. And to the Jews, the Canaanites were considered dogs. Jesus was simply using a colloquialism. He wasn't tearing her down or anything else, just talking to those people then. For us, it's a little hard. But New Testament times, people were a lot thicker skinned. They were less sensitive to these sort of things. Okay? So contextually, we also do not know how Jesus said these words. We don't know the tone of his voice. We don't know his inflection of his voice or expression on his face. When Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, this woman is not discouraged. She's okay with it. She still has strong faith in God, the God of the Jews. She's like, okay, me and my pagan neighbors and friends are dogs. Your faith, Judaism, is far superior. I will gladly eat the crumbs from your table. Wow. She humbly responds, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Her humility in these words and her attitude and everything shows her great faith when she comes before our Lord. And Jesus says to her, how great, and the word here is mega. How mega is your faith? Jesus is saying this Gentile woman, this outsider, has mega faith in the Messiah, mega faith in God. And it's because of her mega faith that our Lord heals her daughter at that very moment. So bringing us all together, for us, how can we have this kind of mega faith? It begins by being like these three holy hermit monks, praying all the time. Living our lives in the presence of God. Praying when we rise in the morning. Praying when we go to bed. Praying when we eat. Praying as we do things during the day. Keeping silence too. They were hermits. They were alone. They didn't listen to Spotify all the time. And it was a simple prayer. Not many words. A prayer that was, similar to, three are ye, three are we. Lord have mercy, right? We say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, mercy on a sinner. We could say, just Lord have mercy. I have a friend of mine. He prays, thy will be done all the time. That's his mantra. That's his prayer. Just thy will be done. Thy will be done. He doesn't, that's all he, during the day, he says, I'm driving a car, I pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. There is one goal to prayer. One goal to prayer. In fact, it's the definition of prayer that was given to us in seminary. It is to unite our minds and hearts with God so that the perfect will of God would be done in our lives. Let's try that again. I'll say it again. The one purpose of prayer, to unite our minds, our hearts with God so that his perfect will be done in our lives. Then we could be like those holy hermits running on water, right? When we pray often, when we pray frequently, and we have a good, strong prayer rule, we will we'll develop a really strong relationship with God. Think about it. The more time you spend with somebody, you can become close friends or enemies, right? If you come close, you pray all the time, you're going to come closer to God. You're going to have mega faith. You're going to have mega trust in Him, faith and trust. It all just comes together, but it's us doing it. And I always like to quote someone who Father Tom always quoted in seminary, St. Theophan the Recluse, when it came to prayer. St. Theophan said this, and this is something that we should always remember. If you're not successful in prayer, you will not be successful in anything, for prayer is the foundation of everything. For us, for Christians. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.